Why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Oh, yes, another fun day. Another day of insanity. My favorite, I woke up today to Devin Nunes, the farmer, the fake farmer, with the picture of the Russian cow, which was just one of those things you go, really, when does Devin have time to do the milking of the cows? Does he get out and does he milk the cows himself? Or is it like George W. Bush who thought you could milk a horse? I don't know. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big news of the day, our good friend Sarah Burris. She's a reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Does George W. Bush really think he can milk a horse?
Yeah. I got lots of mileage out of that during the Obama, during the Bush years.
Oh my God.
It kind of makes you wonder what he was doing in the barn at night.
Ew. I really, really love animals. I do not love animals.
I'm not going there. Let's talk milking cows, though. What's up with this story with Devin Nunes?
So bless his heart. Devin Nunes really hasn't worked on a farm or been a farmer since God knows how long. At least over a decade, at the very least, you know, over a decade. His whole family basically up and left his whole family, like up and left his ass, and moved to Iowa. The whole farm, all the dairy that they had, in Fresno, I think it is, somewhere, Central Valley. And, so ever since then, he's just been, you know, rocking it in his little suburban house and basically spending all of his time in DC. He doesn't really have a farm, but he keeps trying to market himself like he's this big, you know, Central Valley farmer. BS, right? Like, this guy hasn't farmed since he was probably a kid. And his whole family is gone. So his opponent, his Democratic opponent in 2018, was like mocking him mercilessly for this. Like, there are a lot of things that people lie about, you know, to promote their resume. It's really hard to lie. You're a farmer,
right?
I mean,
you can dress like one.
You can dress like one if you show up to somebody's house and they've got basil in the window and just a front yard. I have questions. And that's pretty much what I think Devin was dealing with. So he bought a farm, not bought the farm, but bought a farm.
Right.
And the farm cost between $0 and $15,000. At least that's what his new financial disclosure statement says, which is the only public document we really have to explain to us that he has a farm.
What kind of farm do you get for between $0 and $15,000?
In freaking California.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could probably buy land like that in Oklahoma, probably West Texas, Kansas, but not.
Yeah, not California. Maybe it's one of those Zen gardens.
Like the Bob Ross chia pet.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So I don't understand what the hell he thinks he's doing, but it sure as hell ain't farming. And the videos that he's done for his campaign, I mean, all I've seen is like a really big hedge behind him. And I'm like, you don't hedge farm. Like, that's not a thing in Central Valley, California.
It may now be. Thanks to Devin Nunes, we may have hedge farmers.
And clearly he's not making any money off of it because it's between $0 and $15,000 as the net worth. So a lot of folks are like asking, did he buy into a farm? Did he, you know, is this a response to the brutal mockery of the farm? What my favorite piece of all of this is Devin's cow on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
At Devin's cow. I highly recommend you follow Devin's cow.
I do. Yep.
It's so so good. Dennis Cow is being sued, by the way, by Devin Nunes, because apparently he thinks that it's, people believe that it's really his cow tweeting. The cow actually, they don't have thumbs. I'm just saying. Can you imagine the hoof, like, trying to tweet that? Like,
how many, you imagine how many iPhones they go through?
Right? I mean, all those screens cracked. the cow who's being sued donates to the legal fund. Seriously, big fan of the cow. The cow who lives in Iowa, according to the biography, I don't know if the cow is going to move back to California. I couldn't get a quote out of the cow. I don't speak cow.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So. Just a little gas. They're just a little gassy. They're the reason we have global warming.
Yeah. Well, they belch a lot.
Yeah, that too.
It's not the other end. A lot of people think that it's cow farts. It's not. It's cow belching.
Oh, it's the other end. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the thing that a lot of...
See, now we learned something today.
This whole, like, green New Deal thing where they were talking about cow farts, cows don't fart. They really don't.
Oh.
But they belch. And the reason that they belch, it really has to do with crappy food. If you feed them a higher quality food, they don't belch. And I would think, too, there's probably, like, a whole world of, you know, like, ag schools and land-grant schools that are probably researching different types of food that could reduce that methane level, that probably cost them a heck of a lot less to feed the cows. But anyway.
Yeah, so there was our agricultural lesson for the day. Thank you for that.
Right.
But you know, on the Nunes front, could it be that, you know, he wants to get in on the farmer thing now because there's some subsidies coming out and maybe he's going to cash in on grabbing some of that money from the farmers who are actually being harmed by our trade policy?
Well, here's the thing, like, he's the people that are actually getting the subsidies from Trump, the bailout money. These are huge, huge corporate farms
right.
that are mostly in suburban or even urban areas. Rural America is still getting screwed out of all of this. And if Devin wants to try and claim that he is a farmer and deserves his subsidies, his farm's not big enough. Because even if he did have $15,000, even in Oklahoma, that ain't going to buy you enough to get, you know, like a $40,000 crop subsidy for soybeans or whatever you want to grow.
All right. Well, better luck next time. Let's move on to the other stories of the day. Evidently, Jeffrey Epstein's neck was broken. Usually what happens when you hang yourself, right?
Actually, it's not.
It's not? You don't break your neck?
Not. You do break, like, the back of your neck, usually, like some of the C vertebrae, like among the first three C vertebrae. The hyoid muscle, so this is your mandible.
Right.
Your jaw is your mandible. The hyoid bone is right here. So when you're hanging yourself, you got to have that thing up really, really high to be able to pull your neck to snap this bone right here. That means the rope has got to be really high up on your neck. You're hanging down, not just like, you know, hanging back, but hanging forward. And in, I think, 25% of suicide cases, the hyoid is broken. And a ridiculous amount of, I want to say like 98% of the homicides with strangulation, the hyoid is broken.
Right. No, that I knew, but are you on the bandwagon that Hillary, you know, broke in her black outfit and did the wet work for Bill to keep him out of trouble? Or do you think he killed himself? Where are you on this spectrum?
So I was making fun and creating all sorts of crazy conspiracy theories that were just completely irrational because it was funny,
sure.
Right? When I read that his hyoid was broken, that made me go, oh, crap. He might actually have been killed. I really don't know. And honestly, the only reason I even know how, like, what these bones are is because I love the TV show Bones. And in episode 3 of season 1, they had a kid who was murdered who they pretended that he hung himself. And of course, Bones discovered, no, the hyoid's broken. He was murdered. There's a whole episode about it. See, television is educational. And so I don't know. I don't know if somebody you know, jumped in if the 400-pound ex-cop, you know, killed him.
It's an interesting question because a lot of people are sleeping a lot better now, these last few nights now that Jeffy's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a little bit, my latest funny conspiracy theory is, man, that sounds like a Russian suicide. Right. The strange thing about all of this, like, we're starting to hear these poor correctional officers who, you know, are going to end up being the fall guys for all of this.
Sure.
One of them wasn't even a congressional officer. It was some clerk or aide who they didn't have anybody who could work. And so they had the clerk or aide or whoever come in and work with another correctional officer who was already on like his, you know, 70th night shift, overtime shift. And so they didn't check on him for like 3 hours. And there is actually part of me that's like, did anybody check their bank accounts to see if they got any money for not checking him for those 3 hours?
Yeah, you got to wonder about that. I mean, because, you know, because there's part of me that goes, he killed himself because, one, he's a coward, and there's no way he knew he was not going to – he knew he was going to do well in prison because someone would have eventually killed him anyway. So, you know, that's the coward's way out, and I perfectly understand that. The other side of it is you know, if you're Alan Dershowitz or any of those other people who have been implicated in showing up at his parties, even though Alan does say that the Russian was who gave him the therapeutic massage was of advanced age, and I don't know what that means, but you know, okay, you got to imagine that those folks are sleeping a little bit better since the little birdie is no longer singing.
Yes. One of the interesting things about all of this is I read, there was a strange story from a guy who is a columnist in the New York Times who said that Epstein contacted him, he reached out to Epstein because he was doing a story on Tesla, and Epstein was unofficially advising, Tesla. Epstein asked him to come over, and, he met him at his Manhattan McMansion, and they just kind of talked, and he bragged about himself, and he didn't really give him any information that was pertinent to his article on Tesla. But Epstein kept reaching out to him a lot after the fact. And it was like, you know, do you want to come to dinner with me and, you know, some random person? Do you want to meet this other famous person? And he turned it down every time. He was like, no, I'm good. Pedophiles, not my fan, not a fan. And then he asked him, would you write my autobiography or would you write my biography? And the guy was like, I wonder what would have happened if I had actually done it. I wonder what I would have found out, what he would have told me.
Yeah. No, and, I mean, because I've read this and there's part of me that goes, I think I would have gone just out of curiosity of what I could bilk out of him.
Right. I kind of wonder if I would have too. The other thing that I've heard people say is that he had a lot of information in his brain, but he also had a whole lot of dirt on people. Like, he had physical things.
Yes.
And I think if somebody was supposedly going to be this, you know, big power player and be able to manipulate rich and famous people, you would think that there would be a video involved in this, right? I would assume that there would be cameras all over that Manhattan McMansion, as well as his place off the coast of St. Thomas.
Yeah, the pervert island.
Just for security purposes, right? Sure. Like not necessarily inside, but outside. So you would see people coming and going. You would have video of like who showed up where. So even if it wasn't like, you know, here is somebody molesting some girl, you could be like, here's somebody entering the property with some girl. And what else do you need at that point? That's enough to ruin somebody. It may not be enough to put somebody in jail, but that'll totally kill their PR for quite a while.
No, absolutely. And it's one of the things I said about Epstein from the beginning. You know, how do you get all these billionaires to give you their money to manage their money when you're not really great at it other than, you know, you're blackmailing the hell out of them?
And all of these staffers that Epstein worked for or that worked for Epstein, they all had non-disclosure agreements with him. So if he's gone, then the non-disclosure agreement's kind of like, you know, they didn't have to out him on anything. Does that mean that they can now legally testify and talk about what they saw, who they saw, when they saw them, what they were doing, and any other, you know, issue? Can they out all of these people who they say they screwed around with, or that molested them when they were teenagers?
That's an interesting question, because I would think the estate would sue to keep them quiet, because it's going to affect the estate, because there's already a lawsuit was filed, I guess, today by one of the women who accuses him of all kinds of stuff. Look, there'll be nothing left. There'll be no bones left when they're done going after him. But, you know, still, I mean, you look at all of these people that he had to have secrets on, and I found it ironic that just, what was it, two days after he died, or was killed, or killed himself, or, you know, slipped in the soap in the bathroom, whatever happened, the FBI then decides to go raid Pervert Island. And I'm like, well, isn't that something you should have done, oh, I don't know, years ago when you arrested him?
Well, my assumption is that they were waiting on their permission to be able to raid it. Like, you have to get a subpoena, it has to be approved. This is an island, so he's probably, like, the FBI probably had to deal with not only, the FBI, but the local government on the ground in the American Virgin Islands before they could be like, all right, guys, we're finally going to go in. I would think, too, that his lawyers were probably blocking the FBI going in and doing everything, but in his death, you know, there's nothing that's going to hurt him.
Yeah, he's dead.
It's over.
Well, but to be honest, go ahead.
The other thing I was going to say is that all of these people are going after him civilly. He's not a stupid financial guy. Like, the guy had a ton of money that he was, I don't know if he was bilking it out of people, if he was overcharging for stuff, but he had a ton of money. He's got to have it in offshore accounts and places that the American government can't touch it, or the American legal system can't touch it. I'm just going to assume that the majority of it is probably not in the United States.
Yeah, and I got a question why he even bothered coming back to the country. I mean, if it were me and I was in that you would have never had the chance to arrest me. I would have been somewhere else with all of my hidden money in a country that doesn't extradite.
Exactly. Did you see the story the other day about shortly before the election, he flew randomly to the Middle East? He flew to, I think it was Paris, and then he went from Paris down to Jordan and then hooked up and went north. And so they think that he was maybe in Saudi Arabia, and he was really good friends with MBS. So I don't know. I wonder if there was some sketchy stuff going on with Saudi Arabia too.
Well, there's a lot of rumors there. I mean, here's the thing. When you look at someone like Epstein, you know, guys have a lot of weird secrets, and it's not surprising that someone like him, being the keeper of all those secrets, is gone. I'm surprised MBS didn't chop him up into little pieces.
Right. I mean, you got to wonder, like, what he knows about everybody. Wouldn't that make him a dangerous person?
Yep. Well, so are you sad that he's gone? I mean, because there's part of me that goes, I really don't care. And I don't take delight in people dying, but this guy was a degenerate. But there's the other side of me that goes, I really wanted to know. I wanted to hear him sing, and I wanted it just blown wide open who all of these people are. I mean, I look at Bob Kraft, you know, the Patriots owner, and his, if he's so arrogant, going to a strip mall for a, you know, really, what are they doing in private?
Right. Like, first of all, what you have access probably to better things than some strip mall, you know, massage parlor. But I mean, I don't know. With Epstein, I think the thing for me, I mean, I was the same way when I heard he was dead. I was like, bye Felicia. But then you started hearing the victims like come out and say, now he's denied us being able to have our day in court. He's denied us that justice. We already got screwed over on justice because of Secretary Acosta, you know, who screwed everybody out of being able to at least have their day in court. And now they can't have that either. So it's, the whole thing is just, it's weird. It's messed up. It's depressing. Because it's like every place where something could have gone wrong, it went wrong in this case. And there are a lot of people calling for Barr to resign because, you know, the buck stops with him in right. terms of this, you know, this piece of it. And I got no problem, you know, investigating that. The weird mobster who said that he saw Bill Barr in the prison, I want to know if that's really true.
yeah, so Bill Barr did the deed, huh?
Well, no, it was like the mob boss or the mobster dude who was in prison said that he swore that he saw Bill Barr the day before Epstein was found in the prison, not necessarily where Epstein was, but in the prison, which I guess seems plausible. I mean, I don't know what the hell the attorney general would be doing in some random prison, but if he's the, you know, head of all these prisons, then yeah. sure. Uh-huh.
Don't
so
care.
You gotta wonder, like, what was that all about? Was yeah. he really there?
So do you buy any investigation that this Justice Department would do? Do you put any credence in it? Do you put any faith in what they're going to come out with?
I wonder, because there is the special investigator is the people who've actually found weird stuff happening in the Justice Department. This is not Bill Barr doing his own investigation.
Right.
This is not him controlling the message. It's kind of like the Mueller report, where he might lie about it up front, but then we actually do get to see the reality of the Mueller report. So I don't know if the inspector, the DOJ inspector general, is going to be able to do that investigation. I really honestly want an independent counsel. Like, I want somebody who's way outside of,
yep.
of all of this, who's not affiliated with either party, who's not, you know, up Trump's nose.
So do we bring Robert Mueller back?
let that poor man go on a vacation.
All right, so that there we go. We do need an investigation. We do need to get to the bottom of it. But at the end of it, I still think no matter what happened, he hung himself because he's a coward, and that's what cowards do.
Of all the ways to kill yourself, that is not the way you want to do it. I'd be surprised that he didn't ask his attorneys, you know, like, slip me a cyanide pill or something.
Or do you buy the Russian coma pill? Do you buy that?
Well, I mean, they used to give cyanide pills to soldiers, you know, to spies and soldiers.
No, no, I get the cyanide thing. But there was the one rumor that he actually got one of the Russians' coma pills, and that he's still alive living somewhere else.
That's funny.
There is that.
That's really funny.
So there you go.
That was true. I feel like maybe the medical examiner would have been like, oh, God, you're awake.
Well, there is that. So there you go. Sarah, appreciate the time. Always fun talking with you.
Absolutely. Have an awesome weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Quick break. Right back.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.